godly divinity and divine attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every day, I think, people somehow are being affected by these shades of their soul, whether consciously or unconsciously. Am I right? I mean, they do not name it as lawwama. For example, now, right now, I'm at the state of mutma'inna or lawwama or ammara. But every day, they are experiencing it.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, of course. You know, soul, which is termed as ruh also in the Quranic terminology, it is a very complicated creature. When the people ask the Prophet ﷺ about ruh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet that قُلْ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. It means that even the Prophet cannot explain completely, comprehensively, the existence and the essence and the nature of soul and ruh. But what we see from this nafs and soul are the different manifestations of it. Mm-hmm. It is a multi-dimensional kind of creature that, as you rightly mentioned, sometimes we see that it manifests itself in a way that the people call it an-nafsu al-ammaratun bisu.
All right.
Sometimes we see another manifestation of this soul, which is termed as, for example, nafsul lawam musawwila or lawama, yes, or mulhama.
Yes.
Or, for example, al-mutma'inna.
Mm-hmm.
The question is that, is there a kind of order that first, for example, we have nafsul ammara, then we enhance and we achieve the higher level, then we go to the level of nafsul, for example, musawwila, and then nafsul, let's say, lawama, and then mulhama. Is there a kind of chronological kind order?
Yes.
Of course not.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody would have these different sort of manifestations of his soul. For example, in the morning, you would experience, for example, nafsul ammara.
Uh-huh.
But later you might experience nafsul lawama.
So there are different doors to your nafs, isn't
it? Of course.
It's not like, for example, level.
Yeah, as I said, because it is so much complicated, our creation is so much complicated.
All right.
But what we see is this, that we apparently see these sort of different things.
Mm-hmm.
But then the ulama of akhlaq, the ulama of, let's say, mysticism, they try to make a kind of way towards perfection, saying that, for example, you have to try your best to stay away from nafs al-ammara.
Right.
Try to, for example, stay away from nafs al-musawwila.
Right.
Try to enhance, for example, your nafs in terms of ilhamat al-ishraqiyat, which is called mulhama, for example, and then, for example, nafs al-mutma'inna. Try to make it stable. For example, through a kind of riyadah, through a kind of practices, through a kind of self-refrainments, try to improve and empower, for example, nafsul mulhama or nafsul mutma'inna, for example.
That's right.
So this kind of nafs should be strengthened
mm-hmm.
by your practices, by the obeying Sharia law, following Sharia law, being careful, being cautious.
Mm-hmm.
Then at the end of the day, you would achieve a kind of better level of these manifestations.
That's right.
You would control yourself and you would reach to the level of al-mulhama or, for example, maybe mutma'inna.
All right.
This is what we should achieve.
Mm-hmm.
But it means that everybody would have this capacity,
mm-hmm.
this capability to achieve these levels. But of course, under the supervision or mastership of a master, a teacher like prophets, imams, or the purified souls, or the very experienced, let's say, figures who have achieved these levels.
That's all right.
IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir.
In Ayah 28 of Surah Al-Fajr, we read, "Return to your Lord pleased and pleasing." Al-Raziya wal-Marziya, isn't it? Raziyat al-Marziya is used for... Is this referring to nafs al-mutma'inna?
Definitely, yes. Yeah.
And this ayah has been always explained in commemoration of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam.
Yeah, exactly.
Brother,
exactly. Well, as we said earlier, the level of mutma'inna, that is tranquil nafs, is a level that you find the satisfaction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the servant, and the pleasure of the servant from Allah and his Lord. So this is a sort of mutual relation. So radhiya and maradhiya. Ya ayyatu an-nafs al-mutmainna irja'i ila rabbik radiyatan maradhiya. This is, I mean, the nafs could reach to a level that he himself, I mean the person, the owner, like Imam Hussain alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with him. And he is also pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although he is in the midst of calamities and he's being sacrificing himself, and I mean the hardship or the torture that has come to Imam alayhi salam is not a small one, because yes. I mean missing 18 people of your own family in some very few hours in front of your eyes. So, but at the same time, you see nothing except beauty. So this is the level that these righteous people reach. So
we talked about haqqul yaqeen.
Yeah.
The type of certainty, and here nafsul mutma'inna.
Definitely.
The trustworthy one.
That's so this haqqul yaqeen, this person has reached this level of haqqul yaqeen. So whatever he sees is the one, I mean, his manifestation of Allah's names and attributes. So when we see a person like Imam al-Hussein is... Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is radhi from him, that is, he's very pleased with his action. And he's also very happy that Allah gave him this chance to show himself off. I mean, in this way, that he wants Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to win. That is, he said, I want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see me in such a way.
All right.
So this, I mean, this is a sort of mutual relation between the creator and the created. And it's sort of, I mean, love relation that cannot be understood even by words. It needs to be, I mean, understood by hearts rather than the words.
And this conflict is going on every day and every moment of our life, Sheikh Rouhani.
Yes,
in fact,
course.
In any moment of our life, the people find this conflict of whether am I going to be led to the right path or the wrong path, okay? And Satan in this camp is also active. What should we do in order to be away from such conflict? Is it possible to be away from such conflicts?
Yeah, there are some solutions given by the scholars and ulama. For example, some of them say that every day, as you rightly mentioned, every day you might be receiving these kind of deceptions or temptations from Satan. Yeah, Satanic temptations are always there. It says that, for example, every day when you wake up early in the morning, you should promise yourself that, okay, in this day, I will try my best to stay away from backbiting, for example.
For example, yeah? That's right. Okay, very
so
good.
This is called musharata in let's say technically.
Yes.
Musharata means that you promise yourself, put this condition on yourself, that okay, today I will try my best not to backbite, for example, not to lie, for example. And during the day, you have to practice muraqabah. You have to be always, every moment, you have to be careful and cautious that am I fulfilling that promise that I promised myself in the morning
to be
when I woke up?
That's
yes.
Right. Okay.
So, and at the end of the day, when you go to bed, you have to do muhasabah.
Oh.
Yeah?
You have
to, you have to evaluate and assess yourself. Did I fulfill those promises that I gave myself in the morning?
Very good.
If you do it every day, for example, when you wake up in the morning, say, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah that you gave me another day.
All right.
And I have this day as a golden opportunity to achieve some perfections, for example, in this day. So I will promise myself to do these certain things in this day. Then during the day, while you're working, doing your job, busy with each and everything, try to be cautious, mindful and careful that to perform that. Let's say promise and fulfill it.
That's right.
And at the end of the day, when you go to the bed, just count all those things that you did in that day. And if you made some wrong things, absolutely you have to repent.
That's right.
You have to do istighfar. If you performed all those things, observed them very perfectly, you have to be thankful. Say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Oh God, bless me with another day that I would be, inshallah, better in the next day. So this way, the ulama says that if you practice it for a while, for some 40 days, 1 month or 2 months, then you will achieve very good achievements in your life. Then you get the level of nafs mulhama or nafs mutma'inna, inshallah ta'ala.
That's all right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Rouhani and Brother Alavian, for a nice elaboration regarding Maratib al-Nafs. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. Please, for more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
and welcome to the Israel Watch. The Hebrew media has focused on internal Israeli divisions and escalating conflicts following the dismissal of the head of the Shin Bet and the administration's legal advisor. Additionally, the repercussions from the captive video released by Hamas, the resumption of military aggression on Gaza, and growing Israeli concerns over missiles launched from Yemen were also topics of interest in Hebrew media. We discuss these issues with Dr. Mohsen Saleh, president of the International Association of Political Experts. Hello and welcome to this episode, Dr. Mohsen.
Thank you for having me. Good morning to you.
I will start with the internal divisions within the Israeli entity. One manifestation of these divisions within the Israeli entity was the physical assault on the Shin Bet chief by Ben-Gvir, which was described as a scandal by a Knesset member. Dr. Mohsen, to begin with, in your own opinion, how far have things escalated within the Israeli entity, seeing all these demonstrations that are seen as one of the largest in Israel?
Well, I guess this is the beginning. The Israeli division, the internal division between these extremists and terrorists of Ben-Gvir and Smotrich, and
right wing,
these parties, and the military operation system also, they have this this differences in the philosophical and theoretical understanding of the duty of Israel and its army. That's why Ben-Gvir doesn't understand what kind of mentality the chief of Shin Bet and even the military work, and also
they didn't expect all the support Shin Bet.
Of course, they don't expect that, and also they have different understanding and vision towards the job of each of them. While Ben-Gvir wants to confiscate everything, wants to ruin everything, and want to build settlements and want to invade Gaza and want. That it doesn't work. That doesn't work. Shin Bet, they know how to deal with things in terms of the intelligence
but
services
it's a fierce,
and work.
It's seen as a fierce campaign against the dismissal of Shin Bet.
Of course, because they want the Haridim, or they want these people to be in the military, and they want to have some acts on the ground, and they don't. They don't have this. They just talk to the people, and they talk religious words, and they about terrorism and extremism, and they don't pay any attention towards the people feelings and emotions, especially the people who have hostages still there in Gaza. And I guess the Shin Bet, they blame intrinsically, they blame Netanyahu because of the increase of the power of Hamas, because of the Qataris' money they received, and it's been told that some of his cabinet, some of his bureau staff, they also benefited from this money, and they were corrupted, and they were taking some money from the Qataris. And the Shin Bet, they have all these
documents
to blame Ben-Gvir and Netanyahu.
So it's for personal issues, domestic issues.
It's for personal issue, it's for corrupt issue. That's why I'm saying it's very deep, this one, especially this one, in terms of...
Do you think more information will be uncovered within the coming days? Something similar to the information that you're sharing with
us? Absolutely. That means when Ben-Gvir attacks physically this man of Shin Bet, that means it's been encouraged. It's being encouraged by Netanyahu and by the cabinet in order to do so, because they have this something to hide.
And do you
something
think that the Israelis actually understand this?
They will.
They understand that there is something.
That's why we have seen demonstrations.
Corruption.
One of the great or numerous numbers of the people went to the streets in Al Quds and other places to help or to approve Shin Bet, and they even the legal advisor wanted to stop this legislative or this order of Netanyahu in order to find somebody else and to remove the Shin Bet chief from the
responsibility. Meanwhile, Hamas is waging a psychological war through the issue of captives and the video it released of the two captives. This in addition to the missiles launched by Yemenis deep into occupied Zionist territory. In your opinion, what psychological impact do Al-Qassam videos about the captives have on the Israelis, especially the latest one?
Well, I would say that this video will accelerate these feelings and the psychological understanding of the situation.
Will fuel the demonstrations, Dr. Mohsen.
Will fuel and will also increase the anti-Netanyahu and anti-this cabinet, Ben-Gvir and the extremists and their position from the captives. And I guess
and the timing
the
of the release of this
The financial issue, the Shin Bet issue, the intelligence services issue, the hostage issue, and all these demonstrations, and also Gaza. We know Hamas is still in power in Gaza. And they can do nothing. As he said, we should wake up because they are not understanding. They have no awareness of what's going on inside Israel. These are from the repercussions of the war. And if they want to go back to war in Gaza, that means there are other calculations for their political and for their understanding in the world. I guess the international community. They hate Israel now after killing 15,000 children, and they in 1 week or less than 1 week 150 children in Gaza. So we are talking about a criminal record of this government, Netanyahu others.
But now between Al-Qassam videos that we just highlighted and we've seen on the television and the Yemeni missiles, how do you see the future of Israel plus the demonstrations?
Well, we know that Israel is very weak in this position because
of
Gaza
and Yemen. But some say that they still have a lot of support by the Israelis.
They have support from the United States. If it were not for the United States' help to this entity, Israel would leave, or the Israelis would leave in days.
So you don't agree that most of the Israelis support Benjamin Netanyahu
not at all. They have seen some of the, I would say not achievements, some of their goals. They killed, they massacred, they ruined. They have done a very bad and satanic work. But there is, but what's been covered by the United States is these crimes against the criminal court, against the international courts in general, not only the amnesty and the international court of.
We are talking about
many ramifications of what has happened in Gaza and in Lebanon, and it will reflect itself in the future in the international community, in the political understanding of the role of Israel.
However, if it were not for
Trump, we will not have seen any kind of these atrocities in the south or in Gaza.
Okay. However, the renewed war on Gaza is pointless. For this reason, many soldiers refuse to join the Israeli army and return to Gaza. What's your opinion on the many Israeli soldiers that are refusing to go back to the war on Gaza, especially after the resumption of the ground assault?
Well, we know that Netanyahu is really perplexed and he doesn't know what to do in terms of what Trump wants from him in order to ruin or to strike against Hamas, because Trump want Hamas and Hezbollah and other resistance powers in the region to be struck. But Netanyahu has a problem in terms of the hostages, in terms of the Israelis inside Gaza. So we are seeing here about, let's just say, 73,000 of the Israeli soldiers were in Gaza and participated in this war in Gaza or in Lebanon. And they have problems, either killed or kidnapped or handicapped or being amputated or many things. So if they have seen this catastrophes from their colleagues and their their teams, they would really,
and that's what explains why they're discouraged to actually
discouraged and
be involved again in this.
Culturally, soldiers will be hesitant to go into war in terms of
we will see how this case will develop. Especially when it comes to the ground incursion, Dr. Mohsen. However, in any case, the war on Gaza was reignited by Netanyahu for political reasons, not to secure the release of the captives who are now at risk of death. Therefore, captives must be freed through an agreement, not military force, according to a former Knesset member. Meanwhile, Israeli social media has been focusing on Netanyahu's actions domestically, particularly his repeated dismissals of officials, including the head of the Shin Bet and the legal advisor. Here are some of the comments.
Nati Mizrahi. As you can see, we have moved past the phase of Netanyahu is corrupt, a traitor, and is destroying everything. There is only one enemy that must be eliminated immediately, and that is Netanyahu. Itamar. Netanyahu is drowning up to his neck in all the problems, and he is pushing Israel to the edge of the abyss. And when everything collapses around him, he will have no choice but to flee at the last moment. Talia Ilan, Benjamin Netanyahu is the greatest anti-Semite on the face of the earth.
Well, a fierce campaign, obviously, against Netanyahu on social media platforms by Israeli activists with direct accusations, as we can see, that he wants to destroy the Israeli entity and its institutions. How would you comment on that?
Well, many, they say that. And, of course, it seems that Netanyahu is moved by the political agenda of his party and his colleagues of the wings of the Israeli cabinet. So we see Smotrich, Ben-Gvir, and these. That's why we see this this anti-official, the Shin Bet chief, even the army. We see that how he asked for example Gallant to resign, how he asked Shin Bet chief to resign and others to also leave.
Yes.
Some of the generals after this new commander in chief. So we are talking here about a political agenda of Netanyahu. When Sarah Netanyahu talked to people and say, well, Netanyahu will stay in the government for 10 more years. So we are talking here about a greediness of Netanyahu's family and Netanyahu's cabinet in order to fix and to engrave many of his parties inside this government for financial and for political and for...
But obviously these decisions are not gaining the approval of many Israelis,
well,
as it is obvious on social media platforms.
That's why they say... They're
accusing him of destroying the institution.
Yeah, he is destroying, because despotism doesn't leave any place for political maneuvers or for political parties if it's a democracy.
Yes.
So they are claiming or pretend that it's a democracy, but actually they are going like many other places in the Arab world and even in the United States. Now we have a new dictator. Trump is a dictator now in the United States. Leaving this and appointing this and asking this to resign, and what he has done in his first stage. So we are talking here about Netanyahu emulating Trump. And
moving to the major concern of the Zionists, the Yemeni front. Missiles have resumed raining down on Israeli territory following the renewed aggression on Gaza. This prompted a military analyst in the Hebrew media to express Israeli helplessness in the face of these missiles. So obviously there is no solution for the Yemeni missiles. What? Neither Israeli nor American attacks have managed to deter Yemen, as an Israeli commentator says.
They can't. They should read the history of the Yemenis, their mentality, their culture, how they are courageous, how dare they are to this extent that they would challenge Israel and the United States and even the West when they take such steps, such military steps inside the sea, the Red Sea and the Shatt al-Arab. So we are talking about courageous people. They challenge all these political agenda of the Americans.
And the Israelis and the Americans are unaware of what this that you're highlighting, this courageousness that you're highlighting.
It seems that they are not aware because the British haven't told them that they have been defeated in Yemen. And many of other powers, international powers, they were defeated in Yemen. The Houthis are continuing, and they believe that that's very essential and substantial in their mentality and in their doctrine, so they won't stop.
Dr. Mohsen Saleh, President of the International Association of Political Experts, thank you very much for joining us
in
this episode. It's always nice having you.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Tour the pitch.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islamite. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet. Praise be upon. I am Muslim for all.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of Youth Station. Well, this is Asma and...
This is Nahid, being so glad to be with you.
Yeah, well, we are too happy because we're getting close to the Eid, of course. The Eid al-Fitr, which is very important to us because we've been... participating in this great gathering, the holy great gathering of the holy month of Ramadan. And then this Eid is actually considered as the rewarding day for each and every single one of us.
Yeah, and you know, for me personally, this Eid is like the Eid of memories. Like from my childhood till now, every time that we were even talking about this Eid, I remember lots of good memories, good happenings and good things that we used to do on this day.
Exactly. Same in here. Well, all the Eids from our childhood up until now hold too much of memories into themselves.
Yeah.
Because one of the very most important things that happen during these important days is that we go to meet each other. The process of feasting with the dear ones, like the family, friends, and all the people that are so dear to even the neighbors. Even the neighbors come to meet each other. So it's sort of a feast that is very memorable and also very friendly and lovely. And it's something very, very happy and joyful.
You know what makes these celebrations super special to me is that we are all standing next to each other from the early in the morning that we have the pray.
Yeah.
And it's like we are showing a sample of the Muslim community that is still, though we have hardship, we have problems with all the pros and cons of the society, we are still sitting next to each other. We are showing the picture. We are depicting the picture of the community.
Yeah, solidarity.
Yeah.
You know, there are many Eids, of course, in the Islamic calendar. One of them is Eid al-Adha, that is related to the time when people gather together for that celebration that happens in Kaaba and during that very holy month again, the month of Dhul Hajjah.
And also we have Eid al-Qadir, the special day that is actually it is one of the most important Eids for
Muslims. For specifically the Shia.
Yeah, exactly. And we have the big celebration on that day.
Yeah.
The day that Imam Ali alayhi salam was known and recognized as the person who was going to help the community after Prophet.
To pursue the journey of the Prophet. So that is also a very important Eid. You know, the philosophy behind each and every one of these Eids is very important because, just as you mentioned, it's a sign of solidarity and being united all together. And also, it brings about happiness, peace, and friendship because as a result of the feast that I was just talking about. Well, this is Youth Station. Nahid and I are talking about Eid al-Fitr, which is very important in Islamic calendar. For a month, for 30 days, we kept praying and fasting and reciting the Holy Book of Quran. We kept doing all the things that we've been instructed to do according to God's instruction and, again, the Holy Book of Quran. And then comes the day of Eid. So this must be very special.
Yeah, and also there are too many perspectives to this day. Like, it is not a simple day of celebration in our calendar. There are many perspectives, like the matter of charity, in which we have Zakat al-Fitr.
Exactly.
We are even showing the picture of the protecting community. Mm-hmm. So there are many perspectives. The bonds among the people, the way we are showing our friendship, showing our love towards each other.
Yeah.
The way we are showing the charity, we are being protective, we know about the poor side of our community as well.
Exactly.
And also, there are many perspectives that show the way we are having the gratitude mm-hmm. for the Creator.
Yeah.
We show our thankfulness for the glorious month that we had.
Yeah. You see, I was just mentioning the philosophy behind Eid. You see, so rightly mentioned it, that we have this donation that is considered as a kind of charity, the
right.
act of charity, that happens before the morning prayers. Now, this has got a lot to say, like after a month that you've been acting exactly in the way of God, the way He has instructed you, then comes the day of Eid that you again have to remember the poor people, you have to remember the needy people. So before you actually go for that gathering of the praying that happens in the day of Eid, you have to devote a special amount of money for the poor people. And it's a must.
And again, it is shown that this Eid is not an individual task.
Exactly.
It's not an individual day.
Exactly.
It's a day that we need to show that it's a group work. Like we are seeing the other people as well, the poor people.
Exactly. You know, as you just mentioned, the fact that it reminds us of the other sects and parts and layers of the society is very important. Like, you have to take care of this very thing, that there are some other people that maybe they did not have the blessing that you had during this month. So you have to help them. If not by praying or anything else, then you can devote a special amount of money. That is actually considered the way the scholars would actually decide for it.
So true. And after that, when we have the pray, we are being thankful for all the benefits, all the good things that we achieved throughout this month and even by the end of it.
Exactly.
Like, we know that in this month, like, the doors of heaven are open to mm-hmm. us. The angels are just looking upon us as if we are the best creatures ever. We are being the best examples of ourselves. And now, by the end of it, we have this opportunity to be thankful.
Yeah. Well, you know, this year was slightly much more magnificent and unique. Why? Because in the Islamic calendar, we have the Eid al-Fitr, and also we had the holy month of Ramadan that coincided with the new year of Nowruz
right.
for the Persian people, for the Iranian. So it has got a lot of connotation, maybe. Like, Eid is a sort of a spring for every Muslim person. It could be a beginning to a new journey that you decided during the holy month of Ramadan, so that it could be continuous. You can continue that until the other days and months of the year.
Yeah, it's so true. Many Iranians are so excited this year about this new year.
Yeah.
And the reason is that they know that based on our Islamic teachings, we know that by the Eid and by the end of Ramadan, especially after the Nights of Destiny, we can restart our journey of life.
Yeah.
And now here it is happening at the same time as New Year. So
exactly.
It's up to you. Like, as if you have your way opened. Right.
Yeah, two celebrations happening together. And it's just, it's a trigger actually to make us think more of the spring of our life. Like, it has coincided with the Eid al-Fitr, which is giving you this connotation that it's this holy Eid, and also it's the new year of your calendar. So you can seize the day and take the opportunity and then start it afresh.
Yeah, the opportunity. Like,
exactly.
You have your chance to continue your life based on the decisions that you make.
Yeah, well, there are some very prominent days for Eid in the Islamic calendar, as we just talked about. But then the question is, is it only about these specific days, or do we have any other chance for turning it all around in the other days of the year? Well, in order to answer this, we go for a break and then we come back.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
A day in which you commit no sins is going to be considered an Eid for you. Quoting Imam Ali alayhi salam, I can answer the question that you previously asked. Like, Imam Ali has made it clear for us, so whenever you are not committing sins, whenever you are not making the mistakes, whenever you are not falling in the traps of evil, on that day you can claim that you are having the Eid for you.
Exactly. You know, whenever I recite this holy verse from the holy book of Quran that says, that goes like this. Well, this is the literal translation of it that I remember. That God tells the prophet, if any of my obedience would wish to talk to me, then tell them that I'm so close to them. Well, saying this, I just remember in the dark situations, in the darkest part of my life, I would just reciting this every now and then to remember that it's not about that I'd like to be in your calendar. It must be in your heart, like the day that, according to what you said, the day in which you try to be a real obedient of God, a day in which you actually represent yourself in the best way possible, and the day in which you go according to the instructions of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, is actually your Eid. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a day in your calendar, a day that everybody else is knowing about. It could happen in your heart as well, in every single day. If you need Eid, then remember that. If you go with no sin for a whole day, then that is your happy day.
Yeah, and that is why they say Muslims have the happy face the whole time. Even though they might have problems,
Yeah. They
will always keep the happy face because they know that there is always God looking upon them. There is always God for them to talk to ask for help. And knowing this and believing in this will give us the happy face.
Well, you know, the whole idea behind Eid is the idea of renewal and this refreshing energy that will get into your heart. So I guess every day that you try to actually be the best person you could be it in your interactions with other people or in your social activities, like, imagine you're working in a place and then from the very morning you decide to be the best of what you can. Try to share whatever in your hand to help someone who comes to you. I guess this day could be considered as your Eid as
well. Yeah, even having the intention. We have it mentioned by the creator that even if you are intending to do something good, I will count it as one of the good deeds of you on that day.
Exactly.
So it's so nice to be a Muslim and even intend, like even think of doing good things. If you had the power to do it, that's great. And even if you couldn't and failed, the blessing will be given to you based on what you just were thinking about.
Exactly. Well, you know, this year is also different from this perspective that many people Palestinian people specifically are suffering from war. So these people, though they were fasting, though they had a difficult time, maybe many of them have lost their dear ones, so they had to continue doing, participating in this act right. of fasting in the holy month of Ramadan. So we have to remember these people as well. If there's a day in which there's no oppression upon people, if there's a way in which all the children are living a happy life, having their normal, ordinary life like everyone else in this world, I guess this is the right for every human being, that day would be considered as Eid. But as long as there are sufferings and as long as there are people who are not having, not a perfect life, I'm just talking about an ordinary life, I guess Eid is not complete.
Yeah, and that is the missed piece of the puzzle, which is usually considered as the coming of the savior of life.
Exactly. Like, it actually reminds us also to pray for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi ajalla right. farajah, and this is very important. Also, just as the ending point, if I want to outline everything, I would put it this way, that as a youngster, if you are living with your parents, then I guess taking care of them, being respectful toward them, showing gratitude towards them, and not just them, to the people around you, everyone who has helped you with a single word, a smile, anything, you being respectful towards them is showing that you are having Eid, because that is a change in your behavior.
Yeah, the happy day.
Yeah. When you have this intention of change in your mind and you're hopeful to represent the best version of yourself, that day is going to be the Eid for you.
Yeah, so true. And beside that, we have the special days as the Eids in which we can celebrate the yeah. end of the glorious time that we had, like this holy month.
Have a perfect feast and gathering with your family and friends. And also, may God reward you with the best way possible. So stay healthy and happy Eid to everyone.
So until another episode, wassalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I will tell you, dear youth, that the future belongs to you. By Allah's favor, you dear youth will see that day, and you will hand down your sources of pride to the future generations. Greetings be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.
And inshallah, we will continue talking about
this. We'll discuss that inshallah in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum
warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. And don't go away.
We will continue this very essential topic with our great youth.
Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
First methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. What is the lesson that we have learned from the fasting of the month of Ramadan? I would like to just speak on one theme, which is from Dua-i Makarib al-Akhlaq. Unfortunately, we only recite it in one of the Shab-e Qadr in month of Ramadan. Remember, Dua-i Makarib al-Akhlaq is not for Ramadan. It is for all the time. That is just a way of introducing, you know, knowing to know that there is a dua known as Dua-i Makarib al-Akhlaq, in which Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salatu wasalam, talks about the noble characters, and you know, he talks about it from different angles, and it's a long dua, I know, but this is something at least once in a while, keep that in your mind to recite that with translation. One of the important things that there is a sabq ila al-fadila, competing for the virtues. I don't think when we talk about religious issues, virtues, and fada'il, we don't have this concept of competing, you know, against one another for it. You know, we are familiar with the competition in education, career, business, sports. MashaAllah, the community is very much into it, you know. But we need to focus perhaps more on the competition on a very different plane and dimension. And that is competing for the salvation in the eternal life, in the hereafter. You see, those who do not believe in the hereafter, they are busy competing and running for the comfort of this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this term where he says in three places in the Quran, yusari'una, you know, they are hastening. يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْكُفْرِ, they are hastening towards, you know, disbelief. Another ayah says, يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ وَعَقْلِهِمُ السُّخْتِ, they are, you know, hastening and going in their competition for sins and for rebelliousness and for eating the haram. They do this because in their views, the life ends with death. And so they're competition basically is focused on planning for this dunya, for the old age, for the retirement only. And I am not saying don't plan for your retirement. What I'm saying that if you believe that there is something beyond the retirement, there is a barzakh after that, and there is akhirah after that, then our perspective would be different. You know, and that's where we have to focus on this hastening and the competition and running for something else. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the same words. He says, يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. Those who believe in the akhirah, they actually run and compete for in the field of goodness. So to run in the field and track of goodness and virtue, especially when it comes to charity, is an important lesson that we learn from the fasting of the month of Ramadan. Especially if you look at the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the daily namaz, you know, dua after dua, after the namaz. This is, if you look at that list there, you know, we are told to be concerned for the poor and for the needy and for those who don't have decent clothing, for those who are hungry, those who have been displaced from their homeland, those who are innocently in the prison. And this is where, you know, even concern for the oppressed people around the world comes in. And that is why our sympathy and support for these Palestinians in Gaza becomes more pronounced during the charity in the month of Ramadan. And so when we talk about this, you know, field and track of good character and virtues, what is the goalpost? What is the prize at the end that you're looking for? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about it. He says, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْعَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ سَارِع means, you know, go fast in that run, in that competition, towards the maghfira, forgiveness of your Lord, and towards the Jannah. That is your end there. And the Jannah, whose, you know, space is like the heavens and the earth put together. أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, which has been prepared for the righteous people. In another ayah, it says, سَابِقُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ. You know, سَابِقٌ means try to be ahead of others. Again, the concept of, you know, competition in virtues. You know, be مِنَ السَّابِقِينَ. Towards the maghfirah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgiveness of your Lord, and the Jannah, whose expansion is equal to the heavens and the earth. U'iddat lil-ladhina amanu billahi wa rasulihi, which has been prepared for those who believe in Allah and His messengers. Dhalika fadlullah yuti'i man yasha, that is the grace of Allah, He gives to whomever He wants. Wallahu dhul fadlil azim. Dua Kumail from our Imam Amir al-Mu'minin Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. If you look at the last passage of the dua, even there, one of the things that you ask Allah, that you, Allah, bless me, hatta asrahu ilayka fi mayadin as-sabiqin wa usri ilayka fi al-baridin. You know, Allah, give me the ability so that I may pass quickly towards you in the field of those who are foremost. It means there is a race going on of the good people, and you want to be among those who are sabiqeen, who are in the front. Wa usri alayka fil baridin, and those who hasten towards you among those who are fast in their move. And this is where we have to realize that, remember, the competition for dunya is fine, but there is a more important competition for the virtues in the akhirah. It's not that you shouldn't be working for your dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, one last message. وَابْتَغِي فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ. You know, by the means of what Allah has given to you, seek the abode of the hereafter. But then immediately he says, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبُكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. But do not forget your share of this world. Use this dunya for your akhirah. You can't, you know, build your akhirah in the akhirah. There's no material there, no money there to buy anything. Whatever is there is here. And this is where we have to realize that, you know, we should use this dunya for the akhirah. And of course, not forget our temporary abode either.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimul Halim Hakimun Matin. شكور ودود قيوم
وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners' Special Program on this beautiful Sunday, March 30, 2025. I'm Atefeh Irfani, hosting this program today. And dear listeners, as tomorrow is the first of the Islamic month of Shawwal, and today is the end of the holy month of Ramadan, the holy month of fasting, I, on behalf of all IRIB English radio staff, congratulate our Muslim listeners on the occasion of Eid al-Fitr, the greatest Eid of Muslims. Dear listeners, as you may know, Listeners a Special Program is a program which is broadcast on Sundays, and this is a program where your views are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcasts. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. As I always say, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. After a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back, dear listeners. In this edition of Listeners' Special Program, we will read emails from Bashir Ahmad from Pakistan, one of our old and regular listeners, and another email from India, this time from Anand Mohan Bain, one of our old and regular listeners. And for your information, dear listeners, the reception reports that you send are very helpful to us, especially to our engineers and technicians, because these reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service for our listeners around the world. And all of you who have sent in reception reports will be receiving a piece of EQSL or electronic QSL from IRIB English Radio. After a short break, I will talk about the Persian Gulf. The Persian Gulf is a Mediterranean kind of sea in Western Asia, and it is connected to the Gulf of Oman in the east by the Strait of Hormuz. Spanning some 250,000 square kilometers, the Persian Gulf is bound by the Arvand River in the north, which forms the frontier between Iran and Iraq, and the Strait of Hormuz in the south, which links the Persian Gulf to the Sea of Oman and the Indian Ocean. It shares boundaries with littoral states like Iran, Oman, Iraq, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, Qatar, and the United Arab Emirates. The Strait of Hormuz connects the Persian Gulf to the Gulf of Oman. From millennia BC up to now, the Persian Gulf has always been referred to with the same ancient name, or the Persian Sea, in a variety of books, travelogues, documents, maps, historical researches, and numerous international documents written in different languages. Historians and researchers have emphatically used the same name, particularly in the credible Islamic and Arabic sources of reference. In the Greek sources, the body of water that bordered this province came to be known as the Persian Gulf. In the Book of Nearchus, known as Indic, 300 BC, the word Persicon, Colpus, is mentioned for multiple